This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong. Many companies have leveraged the nature of the pandemic to embrace e-commerce fully. But with less in-person customer interaction, do brands really know what their customers want? Io Jenny, Managing Director of e-commerce beauty platform Threebs, shares his thoughts on the beauty industry and the relationship between data management and successful e-commerce. And he's joining me on the line right now.
Thank you very much, Christine, for the introduction. So I'm Io again from Trips.co. We focus in health and beauty.
So tell me a little bit about why you started the company.
So in early 2020, we built a website to understand more about our customers. So it's sort of like a beta testing. And my co-founders and I, we started this project. It's purely just because of we want to test out. It's a consumer analysis project that we did together. And we actually discovered that there's a huge potential among shoppers for Southeast Asian consumers for higher quality products and services.
Right. And could you give me a bit of an insight into the name?
So to be honest, we didn't give much thought about the names in the beginning, but then we were thinking perhaps we want to be in the industries for beauty, for body, and for bath, hence the three B's.
Right.
So which is why, yeah, and I think as time goes by, we just call it Trips because it's simpler.
Right, I see. And what was it like, for you as someone who previously, before this, had a lot of positions, you know, working for other companies? You had more than 8 years as a marketing manager, division lead, and head of analytics collectively at a multitude of industry giants. So what is it like now working essentially in an entrepreneurship capacity?
Yeah, so at times I still miss working for people because I think entrepreneurship is actually very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And I did actually work very late for almost every day. But then I believe so far it feels actually much more rewarding because you get a greater sense of ownership of what you're doing and what you are, you know, what you plan to do would actually impact the people that is reporting to you. And think in that sense, when it's actually done well and all, I would feel that it would be much more rewarding.
Right. You sort of have you can see the direct results of your work, I suppose.
Correct. Totally.
Right. Really interesting. And also, why specifically these three B's? Why focus on beauty and body products here?
Yeah. So just, I think one of the reasons is because of data. I mean, we can talk a little bit about retail first, because that, I think in a past decade, it's where with what they call it a data boom.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the data that has been collected is actually on social media. So, you know, Facebook started building a lot of data centers. Google, like, they are like doubling and quadrupling their data centers. So that's where all the data has been collected. And it's about consumer data that they have collected. So that makes it interesting where you're able to see and where you're able to understand more consumers and about their behavior online. And attaching that to retail is that retail, online retail especially, it requires all this data to actually run. So it's just totally based on that. My co-founders and myself, and I think our experience is also so happened to be in this retail. And then we have helped several multinational companies on their digital transformation across about 12 markets in Asia Pacific. And we think to ourselves, right, so we have the skills and the timing is actually not too late. And then because we still believe the internet age, and then we think that it is still at its dawn.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, we decided, you know, let's go for it.
Right. I mean,
and we think we have a shot.
That's so interesting because, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs that we speak to, right, they kind of start in brick and mortar retail and they sort of build that brand first and then they move into data analytics and management and looking at e-commerce and stuff like that. You sort of went almost in the other direction where you started with data first and then you took a look at, well, okay, so what could we do retail-wise?
Correct.
So, you know, from what you've seen and also from the data that you've been taking a look at recently, can you give me a little bit of an insight into the effect of the pandemic on the beauty industry? Because I feel like from what I've gathered, there seem to be sort of two camps in a sense. There was this sort of feeling, especially near the beginning of the pandemic, when people started transitioning into working from home, that there was a less of a focus on, let's say, makeup, cosmetic products, right? Because you didn't necessarily have to put on your face, quote unquote, to go to work anymore. But now, I think slowly as we've gotten further into this time, there's been a lot of focus on self-care. There's been a lot of focus on, you know, taking care of your body, of your skin, making sure that even when you are working from home, you still are dressing up for work, quote unquote, as well. So, I mean, tell me a little bit about that. What kind of trends have you seen?
What kind of trends I've seen? Okay, so recently, I think the pandemic has impacted many industries. You know, I think health and beauty is actually not an exception. So a lot of them actually got impacted. For example, we offered cosmetic products just right before the MCO. And right after the start of the MCO, I think it is very obvious that it's not going to work because we have, at the other hand, we have a lot of established sellers, and the entire demand for cosmetics just shrunk. Like, you know, who's really going to restock and buy cosmetic when they're not really going out, right? Mm-hmm. So interesting trend that we saw recently, I mean, I believe it would be actually a sunscreen. So we saw a huge increase in the past 2 months. And initially, we couldn't understand why, you know, even though we have all the numbers and all, but then the thing is, it makes no sense. And, you know, sometimes I think data just can't tell you the whole story and it requires some investigation. So we asked our customers, and then we found out that many of them were afraid that they would have to queue up outdoors when they're getting their vaccination, which is why they're all buying sunscreens.
Right. So there was that sort of, I guess, dip, especially with cosmetic products right at the beginning. And now, like I mentioned, it's sort of moving into preventative, I guess, rather than performative products.
Correct. I mean, I believe these two, it complements each other, you know, they complement each other. And then I think skincare, it's really making sure, you know, like what you said, it's a preventive thing. Mm-hmm. So, and it's also making sure the skin is always healthy. And I think on the cosmetic side, the makeup side, it's really more of a touch-up solution or a quick solution.
Right. Well, you know, taking a look at Threeps as well, what sets it apart from other platforms, you know, both in terms of like generally as an e-commerce website, but also specifically as essentially like beauty and skincare products website as well?
So I think for us, we focus a lot on customer experience and the entire customer journey. So, and also in relation to our background as well in tech, you know, that makes us very easy to make some changes and all. For example, if you look at one of the challenges that for online purchases is actually the visualization of the size of the product size. Mm-hmm. I think before we started, we had several friends. I mean, they're all dermatologists, and then they, you know, sort of know some of the challenges they share with us. They say a lot of, even though it's stated that like 30 ml, but I think a lot of customers, they have probably not a lot of idea how small 30 ml is.
Right.
And you get that moment of truth when they receive the product. It's a little bit of disappointment. They said they never expected 30 ml to be actually this small. So when we don't hit expectations or we don't meet expectations, right, then there will always be a fall. And then, you know, that sort of, they felt that it's probably not worth it, you know, something like this. And if we are able to tell or even to manage that expectation upfront, then help them visualize it. And I think that would be really helpful for our customers. Mm. And the other thing I feel what would really actually makes us different is, it's, for example, the ingredient list. I think most health and beauty sellers out there or any merchants out there, they are just really copy-pasting the entire ingredient list into their product descriptions. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that is that not everyone understood the scientific name of it. And the other complication it could also be that there are many different names for the same thing.
Yeah.
So for example, niacinamide, and you can call it a vitamin B3. There's a lot of different names, or you could call it niacin. And it's based on each country's regulations. And for us, we want to help our customers to understand. And which is why we created an active ingredient section, would just basically take all the scientific name and then put into the most commonly used name. And that helps a customer to identify what is the active ingredients that would be able to help with their skin. So I think that's one thing we focus a lot on, the active ingredient side, because we believe there are probably like 10, 20 or 40 ingredients in one product, but it is sometimes it's only the active ingredient that would actually help with what the product is trying to do.
Right. So essentially for you guys, it's all about managing customer expectations, right? First of all, in terms of the product size, because like you said, not many people, including myself, I will fully admit, know what 30 ml necessarily looks like.
Yeah.
But then also it's about, you know, especially when it comes to the beauty and skincare industry, a lot of the, I guess, more savvy consumers will put a massive focus on what you mentioned, these active ingredients, issues like, for example, is this product sulfate or paraben free? That's another huge issue that's come up within consumer trends nowadays, right? People are trying very hard to be more aware of what they're putting on their body, on their face. So, you know, I think that's really interesting that you've gone out of your way to have a filtering system, I suppose, on your website to accommodate these consumers as well. I mean, even the fact that you do have a paraben-free tag, right, on some of your products makes it very clear. I don't know if anyone else has this experience, but sometimes when you go into a store or you go into another website, you have to actively search for that kind of information, whereas this is quite clear.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Exactly.
All right. Well, it's time to take a short break, but I will continue speaking to Io all about Threeps after this. You're listening to Open for Business here on BFM 89.9.
Banish feudal mentality. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
This is Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong, and on the line with me today is Io Jinyi. He's the managing director of e-commerce beauty platform Threeps. We were talking about before the break the effect of the pandemic on the beauty industry, some consumer trends, and also what separates Threeps from other e-commerce beauty platforms as well. Now, I also wanted to talk to you about the fact that this started essentially during the pandemic, right? I mean, what was it like to kickstart a whole company during the pandemic, number one, but also, you know, what do you think of that boom in e-commerce that the pandemic brought?
So we, I think like I mentioned before, we sort of have our beta testing just right before the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, it did actually affect some of our categories of product, but we had to pivot into something that actually resonates with the customers at that time. So I think leveraging on e-commerce is something that we are doing. So because we are a purely online seller, so we don't actually have a bricks and mortar store.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also many advantages and challenges for e-commerce. For example, I think customers cannot touch and feel the product before making a purchase.
Mm-hmm.
But however, I think e-commerce actually offer a different benefit where offline can't. So, for example, I mean, more information, more, you know, like for example, reviews, because you don't actually get all the reviews stated on the shop if you go to, if you go to a brick and mortar shop. So you can get an actually more neutral voice. You could have you could do your research and things like this online. And the other one, for example, it's the, you know, the filtration of the ingredients that are provided. And, you know, in the bricks and mortars, you can't actually do that because it's already arranged there.
Mm.
And then you can like check. And for example, I want the product to contain hyaluronic. I want the product to contain niacinamide. You can't group them all together. You have to rely a lot on the personnel that is actually introduced, that has a deep knowledge of all their offerings.
Mm.
And I would say that you need to train people on those things, and it's not always 100% correct. So, however, I think what we're doing here is that we can actually make sure that information can be neutral and can be correct.
Right.
And I think lastly, one of the most important advantage of e-commerce is that we can run 24/7. So there's no closing hours or opening hours. And I think customers can shop anywhere, anytime, even when they are waiting for their COVID vaccination in the center. So, for example, we get a lot of orders, especially right before our customers go to bed. I mean, I'm guessing perhaps they're doing their shopping on their bed as well,
mm-hmm.
because our highest sales is always around like 12 a.m. or 1 a.m.
I mean, there's something to be said there for quite literally retail therapy, right? I guess when you're decompressing from work and you're about to go to bed, that's sort of when you start to, maybe I should get a new toner. right. And another thing that you mentioned was that difficulty in, you know, there's less direct interactivity with your customers in a sense, but there's a lot of room for information to get your questions answered in a more one-to-one manner at the same time through the use of direct messaging. And you also, as I understand, have a partnership with a dermatologist as well to help, you know, have a better understanding of these products, what they do. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I think the dermatologist partner that we are doing is with MediSkin Studio. So it's run by Dr. Inky. And I think essentially our partnerships entails the part where if there are complicated questions that we cannot answer, because after all, we are not medical professionals, right? And we need a medical advice for some of our customers as well. For example, I think pigmentation is one issue that I would actually consider that as a complicated issue. So for cases like this, we don't try to tackle it on ourselves, and we always refer our customers to a professional.
Now, from what I understand, your sort of passion is in the data primarily, right? So tell me a little bit about data analytics and management in the beauty industry. I mean, what kind of you know, things are you looking for, and how are you actually using this data to help improve the retail experience overall?
I think there's a lot of data out there, but if we don't have a good use case, right, it will be a cost in actually collecting all this data and storing them. So I think when you're storing a large amount of data, it would cost different resources to manage and maintain it. So I think most of our data are collected anonymously, and we primarily use it to improve our customer experience and our user interface. And we are constantly thinking about the challenges of offline retail and what are the values that we can bring to our customers. For those examples that I've mentioned just now, but besides that, right, I mean, we base on the browsing histories of the consumer on our website and also their behavior on each touch point. So in each buttons and each thing, there's a tracker and all that, even though we don't know who they are, but then what we look at is the report. What is this telling us? And then what are the percentage and what are the sample, you know, how big of the sample size and what are the variations and things. And for example, I think we have actually incorporated a machine learning side on our recommendation engine. So all these data are then fed into the recommendation engine. And then the machine learning actually learns itself to actually propose what are the recommended product should they show it to the customers. And we can see huge improvements. The larger the data set, the better it is. For example, we started off as perhaps about 0.5% conversion rate. And last month, I think it had reached about, I think, almost a tenfold increase in terms of its performance.
Right, I see. And I enjoy that sort of glimpse into how that whole process works. So now I just want to talk a little bit about some of the brands and products that you do offer. So tell me a little bit about establishing those relationships with these brands, and how does it benefit the brands for them to appear on your platform?
Yeah. So I think we are constantly expanding our offering. So we love to work with brands with a high level of transparency because we believe that our customers' base are very savvy. And based on a study in Google in 2017, so I think they sort of discovered that Southeast Asian had the most touch points before they make a purchase online, especially Malaysia, because I think Malaysia is actually top three. So they research a lot before they make a purchase.
Right.
And I think with our partnerships, I think two of our major partnerships which we had announced recently, one is with DKSH, and they are there to help us in terms of market expansion. They are connected to most of the brands that is available online. And the other partners that we work very closely with is JD.com. So they are the biggest, they are the third biggest e-commerce in the world. So they do have a lot of relationships from there. So from there, I think both of them have actually helped us expand a lot and help us search for the brands that we want to be working with.
Right, I see. So essentially, the partners that you work with for your logistics arm have actually helped you to expand your retail offerings as well.
Correct.
All right. And finally, before we wrap up today's show, what are some of the plans for the future of Threeps as well?
Sure. So I think at the core of business, it's about giving our customers more useful information, whether it's product description, ease of purchase, or quick deliveries. I think specifically for the website, I think expansion will come in the form of onboarding more products for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of experimental features that we want to be going through our website. And I think generally categories where consumers require more information and service will be our strongest suit. And we have started offering baby care products where some of our, it's because some of our existing brand, they do offer as well. So we are already building a team that specializes in mother care and baby care. And I think other than that, I think pet care will be a very interesting exploration.
Right. Okay. And final thoughts on, you know, the future of the beauty industry as a whole as well.
I believe that the health and beauty industry will be experiencing, I think will be one of the fastest growing in this region, because I think one of the trends that we have observed is that Southeast Asians consumer seems to care more about skincare than our Western counterparts. So I believe it will be a strong one in the coming years.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Io, for joining me on Open for Business today.
Thank you very much, Christine, for your time.
You've been listening to Open for Business with me, Christine Wong. I've been speaking to Io Chen Yi, the managing director of e-commerce beauty platform Threebs, about his thoughts on the beauty industry and the relationship between data management and successful e-commerce. If you've missed any of today's show, you can go ahead and download our app that's available on the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also head over to our website, bfm.my, and download the podcast from there, or, of course, listen to live radio. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.